cowboy, cowgirl, sister. And she's got a song for us tonight. Amen. It'll be a blessing to you. While she's getting ready now, don't forget now, Wednesday night. Be here Wednesday night. You'll miss a blessing if you don't. All you that have kids in that kids' Bible class, it's summertime. They don't even have to get up and go to school. So it's important that they be here at that Wednesday night Bible class. It really, really is. You may think they're not getting nothing, but they're getting it. They're getting it. They're learning. And so have your kids here Wednesday night. Be here. It's the easiest thing in the world to just miss one. It's so easy. But you just say, I'm not going to do it, Lord. I'm going to do what you want me to. He'll bless you for it. All right? Amen. Two cowgirls. Amen.
Lord, I'm tired and I'm weary. And I can see a lone dark valley ahead of me. I don't have the strength to pass this trial. When I hear my Father say to me, I'll go with you.
Are you in the valley tonight? Lord said he'd go with you in the valley. Hey, man.
Ladies, enjoyed that? Say amen.
Amen.
I like that. I needed that tonight. When you're in the valley, He'll go with you. The Lord, we need to be reminded of that once in a while. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. I wonder tonight, before I read the scripture, it got so loose and real in here this morning, I thought somebody might really come back right tonight and want to give a testimony. And I'm not going to preach long, so just who wants to give a testimony? Right quick. Pop up, pop off, pop back down. Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Go ahead, Bo.
Brother, I've been listening to the CD of I'm Blessed on the youth round on our youth CD all day today.
Amen.
Friday, I go under surgery for the third time in a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I know when I go to sleep, no matter what happens, all my journey has been worth every moment.
Blessing.
It's been worth every step.
Listen, y'all.
It's been worth every what? Story. It's been worth every sleep at night. It's been worth not seeing my children. But I bring them to church, and that's a blessing to me.
Oh, my.
You know what? My journey's not over yet. It's only begun. It's only begun, and I know it's only begun.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that God puts a peace within me to know when they put me to sleep, if I don't wake up,
I know I'm going to my heavenly home.
Amen.
And I know I'm going to see my loved ones once again on the other side. And I just want to thank the Lord for the peace and the hope that He puts in my soul. Last Tuesday night, like a lot of you don't know, we went to that camp meeting. Me and Brother Scott Heffner got serious up on that mountain. I ain't took a pain pill in a week, over a week now, and I ain't hurt not one bit.
What about that?
I feel the tumor on my back, but it feels just like a catch or something. There's no pain. And the swelling in my leg, you guys know, I was put in the hospital because of infection in this leg. And about the bird, Brother Danny come to see me, he seen me. I was taking blow, and the brother showed up. So I want to thank the Lord for what He's doing. I mean, He's just, if we just keep submitting and keep drawing an eye, keep submitting, don't stop, be consistent, don't stop, be consistent. I've learned that the last 2 years.
Amen.
And I want to thank the Lord for the relationship that I've developed with Him in the last
2 years. Amen. Amen.
Because it's grown 180%.
Yes.
And I want to thank the Lord for what He's done for me.
Amen. Bo, why don't you come up here and let's pray tonight. I mean, he's going to have a serious surgery Friday morning. Where are you going? Which hospital are you going to be in? At the Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem. Let's, if you can, just get down here somewhere. And all you men can gather around here. Let's just pray for him tonight. The Lord will help him. I still believe God can answer prayers. And, well, I appreciate his attitude, y'all. I mean, there's a lot of people in his shape wouldn't even be in church tonight. Mad at God, aggravated because things don't happen the way they want them to. Let's pray. You pray for him like if it was the other way around. If it was the other way around, it was you or me, buddy. I'd want people praying for me. So let's pray tonight. Ask the Lord just to help you. Father in heaven, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord God, that you'd bless our brother here tonight. Lord, I thank you for Bo. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd touch him. Lord, I know that you're able, God. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. Our Father, we pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost would come and lead us and guide us in these last days. Help us, Lord, to say what ought to be said and done. Lord, bless Bo. God bless him as he has that surgery Friday. Bless the doctors. I pray that you'd give them the wisdom to help him. Lord, I pray that you'd give him the grace to know what to do. And Lord, let it be all right. God, bring him through it. Lord, heal him up according to your will and power in glory. Lord, I know you can do anything. And I pray that your power be upon him, Lord. Have your way in your hearts tonight, Lord. Give him faith and strength and peace in his heart. And Lord, bless over his family and take care of them. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen, brother. Thank you, fellas. Amen. 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 All right. Somebody else want to pop up right quick? Anybody else? All right. Anybody else? Okay. Here's what I want to do tonight. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 32, and I want to show you one verse of Scripture here tonight and bring your thought on it that I felt like the Lord laid on my heart. Exodus chapter 32, just for a few minutes this evening. And it's an old revival message I've used down through the years, and I'm going to just bring in some thoughts on it. This morning I preached out of the book of Zephaniah, and I talked about the path to spiritual destruction. If you didn't get it, you need to get it. If you were out working or nursery or junior church or anywhere, wasn't here, get that message from this morning and use it. Tonight's going to be a little different. I'm going to talk about the church and Exodus 32 and verse 6. Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 6. Here the Bible said, the people had a big feast going on, and it said they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Rose up to play. That's an interesting little word, choice of words there back in Exodus 32:6, and I will use it tonight and preach on the subject playing church. Playing church. Give me your undivided attention just a few minutes and I promise will not be long. If I understand the Bible right, the main purpose of any church is to preach the gospel, get sinners saved, and then help people to grow in grace after they're saved. I understand that right. I went on bus ride yesterday with Brother Mike, and we were talking a little bit, and we were talking about some things, and I was talking about with me and Tim, and some others were talking, and we were saying, people nowadays, they got it. The attitude they have is, I want to go to a church that makes me feel good. I want to go to a church where I feel good. They make me, they brag on me, and they have something exciting and flashing lights and rock music and a beat and something. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with being encouraged at church, and you should be encouraged at church. And you should feel better when you leave. But I'm going to tell you that this evening, it is not the purpose of this church to make you feel good. The purpose of this church is to get us right with God, get sinners saved. Now, if you do that, you will feel good. But that's not our job. Our job is not to make you feel good. Our job is to preach this book to you and help you to stay in line with it. I remember when we were little, when I was a little kid, some of you old people remember this. Boys, all boys, had these little army men. I remember when I was little, you used to buy a bag of army men. How many of you remember the little green army men? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. They're little guys about that tall, and you buy a bag of them, and you take them little things out. I never did get into that, but my friends did. And they'd have, like, out in the driveway, and they'd have this little guy here. He's bending down with a gun like this right here. And this guy here, he's coming over, and here's a little tank, and here's a little thing, and here's a hill. And they're out there, and they're going, boom, 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 boom. And they shoot these army men and make them fall down. Now, nowadays, you got these thumb games where you don't have to use imagination. It does all your thinking for you. All you got to do is learn how to move your thumbs. But back then, boy, you could play them outside. Didn't have to have no battery charge, no electrical current, nothing. Just play it out in the yard. And I mean, and boy, they'd be playing, pow, shoot that army up, pow. And this one guy, he did it to in high school. I remember seeing him out in the yard doing it. And then I remember guys grew up a little bit, and some of them wanted to be in the army. And some of them boys up in Marion thought they wanted to be in the army. And boy, they went out, they went and joined the army, and they go, like that guy, Tim Lee, said his daddy was a preacher, and he said he got tired of living by all them dumb rules his daddy made. And he said, I'm sick of doing everything you want me to do around here. I'm going to join the army. That's a brilliant thing to do, wasn't it? I mean, that sounds like a dumb young man. Anybody says, I'm tired of these rules, I'm moving out, you're going to wind up having to do more than you did when you left, dummy. Amen? And join the army so you can be free, really. He said, these boys went out and they joined the army. And they'd go off to for a while, and they'd come back to Marion. And buddy, they'd come out there, you know. And they'd have them boots slicked up, jet black, up there in them army pants on. And they'd walk it out in there, and all the girls would say, "Soldier boy, oh my little soldier." And they'd say, "Oh, he's a soldier. How romantic!" And everybody thought, "Man, he's in the army. He's a bad dude. He's cool. He's in the army." And then some of them guys got over in Vietnam, and buddy, they got over there, and they got over there where, I mean, it was 100 degrees in the shade, and ain't no shade. And I mean, there was mosquitoes big enough to, I mean, like vampires flowing around, sucking your blood out, and it was sweat, and it's throwing hand grenades out there in them weeds, and people seeing their arms and legs blowed off, and suddenly I didn't want to be no soldier boy no more. Listen to me. Are y'all listening to me? They didn't want to be a soldier boy no more. They said, man, they're shooting real bullets out here. A guy could get hurt. Mama, I want to go back to Marne. Mama, somebody come get me. I'm telling you, it was too late. And you know, I've been pastoring it the same way in serving the Lord. Same way in serving the Lord. Is everybody listening? Everybody hear me tonight? Listen to your preacher tonight. I'm telling you, a lot of people get in, and we're having a big camp meeting, a youth rally, and boy, the soldiers are walking around with their Bibles and hallelujah, howards here. Woo! That's boot camp. It's fun. That's rally the troops. Glory to God, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But about that time, you get back home, and the devil throws everything but the kitchen sink at you. And brother, your family busts up, or you lose your income, or lose your job, or you find out you got cancer, and you think, bless God, they're shooting real bullets out here. This is war, people. This is a war that you and I are in. This is not a game. This is a battle that you and I are in. And God put us together at Shining Light Baptist Church to fight the battle and get the job done. And by the grace of God, let's don't go AWOL on God. Let's stay in here and get the job done for God. A lot of people just play in church. A lot of people are playing church like they're playing army. You know, playing church is coming to church on Sunday, singing the songs. How are you? Good to see you. Everybody, let's go out to eat. That's playing church.
Yep.
Getting out there in the trenches and fasting during the week and knocking on somebody's door and saying no when the devil throws something at you and doing the right thing even if it costs you at work. Oh, y'all listen to me tonight. Brother, we ain't playing church. This is real. This is a war that you and I are in. It's a battlefield. The old song saying, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight, not a game. So run if you want to. Run if you will. But we've come here to stay. I want to say tonight, used to then play war and say, now you be this and you be the captain and you be that and I'll be this and we'll play army. And that's the same way people do at church. You be the preacher, and you be the deacon, and you be the Sunday school teacher, and we'll all pat each other on the back, and we'll all say hallelujah, and we'll all, no sir, brother. Listen, this is the rally point. Join the church is when we come together to rally the troops. The battle starts when you walk out that door right there. Every one of you will fight the battle this week, unless you just give in to the flesh and do whatever the devil wants you to. If you're trying to live right, you're going to fight a battle this week. What do you think God meant, Paul meant when he said, fight the good fight of faith? What do you think he even meant by that, folks? If it's not, if everything, you know, you see people that say, oh, glory to God, Jesus is good, hallelujah, everything, and they never have a problem, never have a temptation. That's not the way it is. That's not real Christianity. Real Christianity is blood and guts, brother. I mean, sword and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting some more. You know, when you get down, you're in a fight. If you're in any kind of sport, you don't quit when you get beat down. If there's anything your coach will tell you, it's when you get down, don't give up. It's when you get down, don't quit. You say, well, Brother Danny, the devil's hitting me. Listen, there ought to be something rise up inside you. Let's say, devil, I am not laying down this easy. By the grace of God, I'm getting back up. I'm going to fight for the Lord. You may kill me, but I'm going down swinging. I will not give up. I will not quit. By the grace of God, we're not going to do it. Too many people's quit already. Amen? Lord, the woods is full of quitters. Anybody can be a quitter. Anybody can quit on God. It takes no effort. It takes no talent. Just say, I give up. Had problems. I quit. Listen, brother, we need some that'll say, I'm in the battle. I'm not going AWOL. The Bible said there is no discharge in this war. That's what my Bible says. I'm telling you tonight, I want to say just a thing or two about it, and I'm going to hush, okay? Listen, I want to say, a church that does not magnify the Word of God is playing church.
Yeah.
Amen. I heard somebody say one time, a long time ago, at a flea market or somewhere, and I was talking to them, they said, are you Danny Castle? And I said, yes, I sure am. And they said, oh, I've heard so much about you. I just heard this wonderful thing. And I said, well, I don't believe everything you hear. They said, no, it's good. They said, well, I've heard this and I've heard that. And they said, I work with so-and-so and named this person. And said, she said, you are the best preacher she's ever heard. And I started laughing. I thought, if I'm that great of a preacher, she sure don't come but about once a month. And you know, that's the way people are. They're just playing. They say, oh yeah, I go here, whatever. A church does not make... Listen, if you ain't got a hunger for that book, and there ain't something inside you that wants to hear that Bible on a regular basis, and you don't have some kind of hunger for the Word of God in your heart, there's something bad wrong with you. You ain't much of a soldier, there's something wrong with you. I'm telling you, ever since I've been saved, I've been up and I've been down, but I've always had a hunger for hearing this. And one ear, I listened to preaching all week this week. I listened to preachers on CD and DVD, and I watched some old John R. Ice, done dead and gone. And I listened to Jack Hiles, he's done dead and gone. And I listened to Dr. Seitler, and he's done dead and gone. I mean, all the preachers are dead and gone but me, and I'm next probably. But listen, I'm telling you something, brother. You hear me tonight, they're all dying off fast. I'll tell you one thing, that old book right there will still work, and a church that does not magnify the Word of God is playing church. I've said it over and over and over, and let me say it again. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what they believe or what they teach. We as Christians accept and believe the Holy Bible as our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Don't you start believing something just because society is going that way.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, Brother Danny, the way they're sounding, maybe some gay people are really, no, not maybe. Not trying to be ugly, not trying to be mean, but the Bible does not say that.
Amen.
Amen. Adultery is wrong. Murder is wrong. You know why that fellow went in that movie theater and just started shooting a bill? Because he had no moral compass. And he abandoned the Bible years ago. You can't say, well, them poor, dumb, educated people, if we would educate them, they would straighten up. He was at the top of the class of being a neuroscientist, brother. He was a brilliant young man. And saying to you tonight, it was because he abandoned what the book said that got him in that mess. And ladies and gentlemen, we, by the help of God, we're going to say, hey, what this book says is right, and we're going to do what the Bible says. Amen. That's right. That's right. Work by the grace of God. It's right. And if your grandma says, well, I had a vision, and in my vision, I'm going to say, grandma, you're sweet, but you have no clue what you're talking about.
Right.
Bless your heart. I mean, grandma, shut up, grandma. That's right. If it's not according to this book, grandma is wrong. Amen. And that TV preacher is wrong. I don't care how much money he can raise. I don't care, bless the Lord, how exciting it is. I don't care what kind of cathedral they might have in. Yeah, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Oh, I remember reading about this guy, and he said he found this. He told his Bible. This guy was collecting old Bibles. He said, man, I found one you might have liked here not long ago. And he said, really? What was it? He said it was an old trash can. We was over in Germany, and something is like Gutenberg. He said, Gutenberg? He said, yeah, that's it, Gutenberg. You found a Gutenberg Bible? He said, yeah. He said, what'd you do with it? Oh, we throwed it away. He said, man, do you realize one of them sold for like $1 million at an auction? He said, there's only a few of them in the world. The Gutenberg Press, the first Bible was ever printed in English. You throw away a Gutenberg Bible? He said, you wouldn't have wanted this in no way. Somebody named Martin Luther wrote notes all in it. Hey, I believe I just laugh when everybody else lies, and you won't show how dumb you are. Hey, man, Martin Luther was one of the greatest Christians ever lived, and it was his Bible! They threw it away. I'm telling you tonight, brother, that's sad. I hate to embarrass y'all, but I'm telling you tonight, it's a sad thing how Christians do and don't do their Bible. I'm going to fuss at you. I'm telling you, you need to read this book. You need to read this Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone. I don't care how exciting the World Series is, or football, or basketball, or whatever. You read that book. You read that book. You read that book. And I'm not talking about just reading a book. I'm not talking about reading a Christian novel. I'm talking about opening your King James Bible and reading it every single day of your life. That old John Michael and all that group standing up here this morning. And old John, bless his heart, I think he's 17 years old. And he's read the whole book of Proverbs since camp. Brother Jason preached to him about reading the Bible in a teenage class, and God used it to get a hold of him. And he's read the whole book of Proverbs, and he's reading the book of John. And you know what I told him? I said, buddy, you keep reading that book right there. God will do something in you. Listen, that book and sin can't live in the same life. It'll blow your sin out. You'll quit your sinning or quit your reading. You ain't going to do both. There's something about that book. I guarantee you, everybody sitting here at the backslid ain't been reading your Bible. Guarantee you ain't been reading your Bible. You ain't been reading your Bible. And that's why you backslid. It ain't because of your son, your daughter, your mama, your husband, your wife. It's because you left God's Word. You left God's Word. Get your nose back in the book. Read 10 chapters a day this week. Meditate on the Word of God. It'll work in you. And God will bless you. Lord have mercy, I ain't never going to get my outline tonight. Hallelujah to God, brother. Listen, we ought to quit playing church. I want to say number two, carnal-minded Christians are playing church. I'll tell you what's wrong with Christians tonight in most churches. We don't even think spiritually no more.
You're right.
People don't even think on spiritual terms. In a lot of churches, they won't even have a bus ministry because they think, well, it's not financially profitable for us. And it's not. It is financially unprofitable for us. But I still believe God loves them little boy girls. You know, a man told Jack Howells one time? He said, all the rich people's going to quit coming to your church because you bring all these little snotty-nosed kids in here. And we hadn't told him, he said, you'll never reach the city council preaching like you preach. And Jack Howell said, there ain't but nine of them. There ain't but nine on the city council. If you reach every one of them, you've only got nine. He said, I'll take these little thousands, these little kids. And too many preachers, all they think about is, well, I'll get that rich guy, and I'll get that rich guy, and I'll get all the elite. We don't want no kid. Let me tell you something tonight. That's not what God called us to do. The Lord said, go to the poor, the maimed, the lame, the halt, the blind. People don't smell good. People don't. I've heard people say, ooh, I'm not going to go to church with people like that. Well, we're glad you ain't here.
Amen.
Your nice clothes would stink up the place, spiritually.
Amen.
And I mean, everybody's welcome, but brother, we ain't got room for people that look down their nose at everybody like, I'm too good to go to a church. Why don't you come in and say, well, I drove a Cadillac and, you know, a little bus kid sat beside me and touched my fur coat. Well, good. Amen. You ought to give it $5 and pat it on the head. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, brother, carnal-minded Christians, amen, are just playing church. Carnal-minded Christians. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's people don't even think scriptural or spiritual. They look at things carnal, or look at church like it's a business, or look at it's backwards. I've even heard people say, "Well, I wouldn't fool with them. If they don't want to come, let them stay home." That's not the attitude the Lord told us to have. That's not a scriptural attitude. That's not a scriptural attitude. He said, "Go and get them." I'll tell you something else since I'm on the subject. You can tell when people in the church is backslid because they start gossiping and talking about each other. This ain't even really in my notes. I wrote down on the card here. They're not in the sermon. But I just might as well park and hit it a lick anyway while we're right here. Don't you think it'd be all right? Now, if you're not one of these gossipers, it won't bother you a bit. But for you that love to stand around after church or go somewhere or call somebody and say, well, I think this and I don't think that and I don't agree with this and I don't like that and I don't like that. I'll tell you what you're doing. You're doing more damage to this church than people that run the liquor store over in the middle of Morganton. And you need to know that. One lady came in and said, preacher, preach, don't gossip. She said, oh, pray for me, preacher. I'm under conviction. Pray for me. I'm going to lay my tongue on the altar. He said, ma'am, there's about 40 feet of it here. Just double it and let it flop on both ends. She still couldn't get it on there. You ain't got no right or reason sitting around or calling these ladies gossiping about somebody else's problem, somebody else's things that's going on in their life, or me, or your brother, or your sister, or your family. A sure sign a person's backslid is they start cutting down other people in church. That's a sure. Busy people have no time to be busy bodies. You show me the people that's busy trying to win souls in the church, and I'll show you the ones that ain't gossiping.
Amen.
You show me the one. Boy, it's getting quiet in here, y'all. Is it worse than I thought? I really ain't heard. Well, I have. I heard a couple of things. But not nothing major. I ain't heard nothing bad lately, but I ain't stupid either. And you have to once in a while tell the Lord, I'm going to shut up about stuff that ain't none of my business. Every once in a while I hear about somebody say, Brother Danny, did you know so-and-so said something about, well, let me just say something about so-and-so. I don't even know who so-and-so is. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're gossiping about me, you're going to be in trouble. Because I got somebody that takes up for me. I ain't kidding you. I ain't kidding you. He takes up for me. And one lady did tell me this. She said, so-and-so in your church, every time I talk to him, and she don't go to this church. She said, every time I talk to him, they paint you in a bad light. And I said, well, I love them and I hope God will bless them. That's exactly what I said. And it's just like I've told y'all before. If you don't like some stuff I do or some places I go or somewhere, you bring me your Bible and say you're doing something wrong scripturally, and I'll get right down here and say, God forgive me, and I'll ask God to forgive me. But if I ain't doing nothing wrong, then shut up.
Yes.
Is that fair enough? I mean, if man doing something wrong, man, let's get right. But if you're not, shut up. Amen. And the same thing goes with each other. Well, I just don't like the way he said that. It don't matter what you don't like. It don't matter. Well, they say, well, I just don't like it. Well, that makes you God and judge and sheriff. I just don't like it. Well, it's sort of like green beans and turnips and cabbage. And if I don't like it, I just don't eat it.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord have mercy, y'all getting quiet on me now. Maybe it's worse than I think it is.
Reach on, brother.
I'm trying my best, y'all. I'm trying my best. I ain't much, but I'm trying by the grace of God.
Amen.
Anybody wants to criticize me? Anybody here wants to criticize me? Put yourself in my shoes for about 6 months and let's see how good you can do. I challenge anybody with the demons, with the devils, with the members, with the preachers. Put yourself in my shoes. I'd love to see you try it. It might be a little bit harder than some of y'all think it is. Oh, Lord. Jump up and shout, Brother Ray. It's getting too quiet in here. It's probably you that's been talking about me. And I talk about you too, but I've asked for forgiveness. Listen, carnal-minded Christians are just playing church. And then let me say this. Churches that do not pray are just playing church. We're playing church, we ain't praying.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Listen, we got. You know what our bus ministry needs? Prayer.
Yes,
prayer. I heard somebody say one time, they said, well, let's do something to get them to come. Now listen, I'm all for promotions. I'm forgiving them watermelon. I'm forgiving them back school notebooks. I'm forgiving them. Listen, we do stuff like that. I'm forgetting a water slide. I'm all for that kind of stuff. But that will not build a bus route. That will not build a church. And that will, it's okay. That's fine. That might get some here. But if that's all you get to get people come to church, you ain't got nothing. Our bus workers, let me challenge you and everybody. Pray the Holy Ghost will get a hold of their heart and put a desire in their heart to come to church and convict them and save them. That's what will build a bus route. Prayer, brother. Prayer is what will build a bus route. Prayer. Churches that do not pray. When a bunch of women get burdened for their husbands, they'll get down and agonize.
Come on, preacher.
Yep. We need to pray for our homes.
Yes, sir.
We need to pray for our mamas and daddies, our husbands and wives. If you're a wife, pray for your husband. And if you pray for him, you'll do him right. If you're a husband, pray for your wife. And if you pray for it, you'll do her right. And if you got problems, you know what the answer to your problem is? It's laying right there on that pulpit. You do what that book says, and God will bless you. If you don't, you're going to get in trouble.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And I'm telling you, that's the Word of God. And it'll stand when this world's on fire. It'll stand when this world's on fire. Churches who do not pray. Churches, last thing I'm going to say, and I'll be through, that do not stir up a racket against the work of the devil are playing church. You know, there's thousands of little old churches all over this country. The people don't even know they're there.
That's right.
They don't even know they're there. Everybody in this town won't like us, and they ain't supposed to.
That's right.
Woe unto a church that everybody likes. Woe unto a preacher that everybody likes. He's a hypocrite. So I don't expect everybody to like us. But they ought to know we're here. Have you ever been on these little old roads and you see there's a little old Baptist church, there's a little old Presbyterian church, there's a little old Methodist church, and it looks, honest to goodness, looks like a ghost town. Weeds sort of growing up. Weeds growing up in the parking lot means there ain't very many cars traveling, and it's just sitting there dying. Man told me this morning, he was here in the service this morning. He was in his early 60s, and he said they had 20 people in their church. And he was the youngest one. He said, we got 20 people in our church, and I'm the youngest person there. He's 60-something. And I'm going to tell y'all, there's thousands of them all over this country that are dying off. The older people are dying, and there ain't no young people. And them kids, just as soon as they get old enough, just hit the road and don't come back because there's no power and no real God and no conviction. And if we don't quit playing church, some of your kids sitting right here tonight, they'll be out that door just as soon as they get old enough. If they don't see that God's real, and they don't see it in me and in you and in us. if we're just playing church. If you're playing church, your kids are the first ones to pick up on it.
Sure.
They can see it. They can see it. My kids, Lord have mercy. Bunch of little mean fault finding. When they was all little, I could step up, Daddy. I thought, well, what about your sins, you little brat? Man, they can spot it when you do something wrong, can't they? Man, they can see it just like that. Your kids, don't get mad. Sometimes the Lord wants your kid to straighten you out. Don't get mad and slap them. God might be using them to slap you around a little bit. And boy, it ain't fun. You know, you get rebuked by one of your kids, it hurts. You get rebuked by your kids, it hurts. But you just say, Lord, however you're wanting to rebuke me, I guess I'll take it. Let's not play church. Let's not play church. Just don't do it. Amen. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.